so serious.
I think it's you, Adam.
Let's go. All right. Hey, everybody. It's Adam.
And Alia. I always go second.
It's Adam.
Well, you weren't saying anything. And
I think this is a lag.
We need to restart this intro?
Nah, I think we should let it run.
Hey, everybody. It's Adam.
And Alia.
And Lena. Welcome to
welcome
the Creekend.
Welcome to the Creekend.
You know, Creekend. We just released an episode yesterday, and I do have to say it was one of the most depressing intros we've ever done. It was just like, welcome to the Creekend. No, zero hype. So, in our
Did we record that? Does anyone remember?
I have no idea.
Okay. I just wonder.
Could have been any time between 2013 and 2014.
Was it like election week or something?
I don't know. I think it was pre-insurrection, so.
Okay, so. It wasn't good. Wasn't good.
Seems lit.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. Adam, you want to take this one?
Yeah. Let's dive in. So we're going to talk about. Well, we're going to talk about the fact that we're your favorite Dawson's Creek podcast on the planet, in the history of the show, in the history of streaming audio, in the history of talking, in the history of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and the history of the Donatello coaster.
Whoa. That's legend.
What do you guys think about the, like, Inception Reese's, do you know what I'm talking about?
Is that like peanut butter on the outside, chocolate on the inside?
No, maybe I'm using Inception in the wrong way. But I am the Reese's peanut butter cups that are stuffed with Reese's pieces. To me, is Inception.
Oh yeah, that makes more sense. I just am like too dumb to come up with that.
No, I like yours honestly because I think yours makes more sense because. It's like
no.
It's the subconscious has become the conscious, right?
But Inception is just like a dream within a dream, and you're like, Reese's and Reese's.
I don't know. I think they both work.
It's what makes way more sense.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Reese's pieces within a Reese's cup?
Yes.
I want it on the record, Vander Freaks, that we're not even high right now.
I'm substance free, unless you count noodles.
Welcome to season 6, episode 22. I really wish we had like a super hype drop. I want to be like do the drop, and then
you know what it is. It's da-na-na in honor of Britney.
Ah yes, free Brit.
If you haven't watched the Framing Britney Spears documentary, please do so. I have to say, as a member of the Free Britney movement, I didn't really find a lot of new information in that documentary, except for Jamie Spears, her brother. Is that his name? The brother?
I don't know.
Her brother.
Like, everyone is, her sister's named Jamie as well.
I know. Well, it's Jamie Lynn. her brother, like.
Why are they obsessed with the name Jamie?
Because their father's psycho, and that's his name.
Well, okay. New information to me was that Jamie Lynn is the amalgamation of her father's name, Jamie, and her mother's name, Lynn.
What, did you just
I did. Crazy. Anyway. Yeah.
That's their family, and I definitely recommend watching it. And I'm gonna join in the calls to say we're sorry, Brittany, because
why are we sorry?
We're sorry because we fed into this media monster that ruined her life. And
so, like, ever being a fan of her?
No, definitely not sorry for being a fan, but sorry for sort of living for the media around her downfall.
Yeah, I don't know if that does that. Is that the thing that ripped her apart and made her like go into this conservatorship, or was that like just being a famous person in America?
I feel like, I mean, if you want to learn more, I think the documentary gets into a lot of that, how, like, she was really, like, fucked up by the intense scrutiny of the media and the paparazzi. So, yeah. I feel like it's the former of the two things you were saying.
All right.
Yeah.
So, free Britney. We're sorry. I'll never look at a tabloid again. Let's dive into Dawson's Creek, Season 6, Episode 22, Catch 22. Wow. Really makes you think. Use your brain. Keep your third eye open.
This episode is not a banger, unlike
a lot of unlike big Britney time Spears banger
albums.
We got a fucking slapper on our hands. A lot of good content in this app.
And I feel like
I'm here for it.
What do you guys think? I don't think I ever... Wait, this is Katwa. Never mind. Keep it for the end.
Let's Katwa that one.
Okay.
All right. So the first thing we see is that Pacey's on a date with the orange lady.
Fucking why?
And she's like, I'm still super into your money. This is foreshadowing.
This is bad. This storyline is bad.
Very bad.
I decided to look up this actress and found out some things about her, including she was married to that guy from the Reba show for like 10 years or maybe longer.
Like the young guy?
I don't know if y'all ever watched that show, but I loved it. Yeah, the young guy.
Okay.
Also, she's Iranian-American, but like also is wearing a heavy amount of self-tanner. Yeah.
So I mostly want to understand why is there so much hairspray?
I know.
Like, I don't know if you could exist in a closed... Like, if you were in a car with her, would you survive if you turned off the air?
She... I smell like a certain kind of like hairspray, hair gel when I think of her. Like that smell immediately pops into my mind. And it's very, I don't know, it might be something.
Smells like choking.
I was thinking it's something from Bath & Body, like.
Moonlight something. Path.
Moonlight Path. I don't, okay, yes, this is what I needed because I don't remember this. Oh, I remember Juniper Breeze. Okay.
Yeah. Wow, okay. Strong.
No, I think she's more scent of like a watermelon kiwi or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, love that for do you her remember that fruity type of gel that was like in a clear bottle and it was like neon blue or neon green with like bubbles in it?
No. Is that what she's got in her hair?
They still sell that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to get some and experience that.
Definitely
got some in my youth, and it didn't do good things for my hair. So I don't understand how it became a thing, but she appears to be a spokesperson for it.
Yeah, I feel like this was like someone was like, what if we took Jerry curls and it made them less curly? And that's the look that we're going for.
I mean, she definitely has the crispy look that was very in at that time. I mean, everyone was doing gel, crispy gel. And I think what you did, I can't remember because I never rocked this style, but I think you take a shower, get your hair wet, and then you put the gel in while it's wet. And then it dries crispy. Is that right? Yeah, and you scrunch, and you scrunch, and
it's
you scrunch.
It's called being scrunch. You gotta scrunch your hair. And it's a motion where you pull up from the bottom and make a fist, and then release it.
Wow, I hate that. Okay, let's move on. Joey and Eddie are fighting about some dumb shit again. Eddie's like, you don't know what this book is about. And Joey's like, it doesn't matter what it's about. I just need to regurgitate what Hetson wants to hear. Why are you in my dorm? Audrey walks in. She's like, I'm getting kicked out of school. And everyone's like, shut up, Audrey. We're focusing on how Joey is a shell of a person and just emulates Hetson. Then Audrey's like, okay, cool, I'm going to go negotiate with the dean about, you know, staying in school. And they're like, what? And she's like, don't worry about it. We then learn Eddie has an intense desire to spend the entire summer in the car fucking. And he's like, I want to spend the next 3 months busting nuts, not busting tables.
Whoa.
Let's go, baby.
Damn.
And Joey's like, ooh, yeah, ooh, ooh. And she's not really into it.
This is how you know it's not going to end well. Because we've already seen her give it all up for the fantasy. And she didn't have any problems that time. This time she's like, I don't know. Maybe we should think about it. Maybe we should save up some money.
What? I say, fuck the fantasy.
Has he already given her the book at this point?
No. But he's saying, isn't he saying, like, let's go to California and, like, fuck around or something?
He was saying that he just wanted to, like, spend time, like, traveling around the car and, like, doing nothing. Joey's like, what about money? Or,
right.
You know, responsibilities.
I still don't understand the timeline. Suddenly they're, like, in summer?
Yeah, that's how it
works. But weren't they in fall, like, last ep? I'm so confused.
I wouldn't question the timeline that closely.
Okay.
We mostly are learning that it's time for Joey to go on another trip around the world at the whim of a man.
Okay.
Let's get into it.
Very important.
The other thing that's happening in this episode, there's three things, really. It's like Jackers and like he's trying to get back with David. Mm. And then we got Pacey just like being despicable.
Mm-hmm.
I think since I want to spend a lot of time on not Jackers, we're going to blast that real quick.
Blast him.
And I'm sorry for pulling a quick left. So, you know, Jack runs up on David. He's on the hotline, and he's clearly visibly pissed at Jack, and he doesn't want to talk. And Jack is like, take me back, please. And David's like, nah. And Jack's like, please? And they go back and forth like that for a little while. And then eventually David agrees to meet him at the bar to talk and give him, you know, any kind of closure. Some point in the future. I think it's like Thursday night or something. It's kind of awkward. Mm. I don't know why he agreed.
I don't know. He gives him so many fucking chances. I was just like, please, stick to your guns on this. Like, just tell him to fuck off once and for all. I know we're supposed to be siding with Jack as a main, but, like,
mm-mm.
I'm Team David.
I'm Team David. Jack, like, I was surprised that this relationship even ever began. It was like, it felt like it happened without us really seeing too much of it. Like, all of a sudden they've been dating for 5 months and we didn't even get to like see that relationship really, and now they're breaking up.
I think they've been dating for like 3 weeks. I know I'm not supposed to be fixating on timeline, but I think they've been dating for like 3 weeks. They've hung out twice. Something that really pissed me off about this interaction is that Jack suggests that they meet at a bar. I'm just like, you're trying to win your man back, and you're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to be at the bar with my friends anyway. Why don't you just meet up with me after you're done? It's like, no, bitch. You take him out to dinner. Mm-hmm. You meet with him for coffee. Like, mm-hmm. Show him that you're serious. But obviously, you're not.
He's not.
Yeah, Jack is kind of a dumb fuck, and he reveals that immediately in the next scene. Mm-hmm. He's at the bar chilling with some dude, which is fine by me, but not by David. And Jackers is having a solo pitcher. The scene starts. David sees him talking to some dude, being at all like even a little friendly. And David's immediately incensed. He's like, this kid is just out here cruising and I'm livid. And then he walks in after that kid walks away. He's like, I saw you talking to somebody. And Jack is like, that's what you do at bars. And then he's like very contentedly pouring himself a tall glass from his solo pitcher. And David's basically just like, yeah, we're done here. Bye. And Jack is like, wait, what? You're just going to walk away? And David's like, yeah, you're really just going through the motions. You don't put effort into this relationship. I'm not getting a lot out of it. Stay in touch. Deuces.
Mm. Nice.
I think that's going to be the first thing I do when normal life resumes. Just go to a bar, get a personal picture, and just be happy in public.
That's...
Wow.
I love that for you. That's a lot. That's a lot of beer for me. I will say, though, I told you guys about the the LIT pictures at my college, right?
What's the LIT picture?
Oh, my God. That's there sad. Was this,
I know. There was this bar. There's only, like, one bar in the entire town. And they had, like, $4 LIT pitchers night. And you would be...
LIT?
Long Island Iced Tea.
Oh, okay.
And they give you, it's a mini pitcher. It's probably like half a pitcher. Give you the pitcher, stick a straw in it, and go off.
So $4 for blacking out?
Yeah, essentially. So yeah, that was
efficient,
a thing.
Honestly.
That was a thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, catch me in Lewisburg when all this shit's over. Catch me getting lit.
All right. The next thing we see with these individuals is Jacker's actually hanging out with Jen at the hotline. Jacker's is sad, and Jen's like, what's up? And he's like, nothing. I hate life. Jen is like, we keep searching for love. It's fine. And Jack's like, whatever. It's really the end of that storyline for the app.
We gotta talk a little bit more about that conversation. It's so bad.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. Pull through. Yeah, those are my notes. So I don't have anything.
I mean, one, just two things, 2 points there. One thing is that Jack basically says that CJ is like the ideal, and that Jen finally found her perfect guy, and like their relationship gives him hope. And I felt like that was really the death knell of the relationship. Like, the three of us have been kind of saying, like, this is fucked up. It's never going to last. Jack saying that their relationship gives him hope, I was just like, it's over. And then the other thing was, like, Jen says that CJ's kind of gay.
Yeah, he does.
But only in the seventh grade sense of the word. So I was like, what does that mean? In like the way that homophobic way? Like, what are you saying?
Yeah, I don't understand what the seventh grade gay is.
I mean, I think I definitely understand what she's talking about, like the derogatory use of the word. So I, that was just.
Oh, I thought she was saying like in a, like boys experimenting with other boys kind of way in the seventh grade.
I don't think so. And Jack was just like, ha ha, yeah. And I was like, it was just very weird. It was weird.
It was weird for Jack to show up at the hotline where David works the day after he got dumped. Oh,
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, just sulk on the couch in front of everyone.
That's not going to work, boy.
He's just like, I want to find someone else that has done this and ask them. Like, so I heard you got dumped and you showed up at your significant other's place of work weeping.
Yes.
Explain.
I don't know. Maybe it was one of David's off days. Still, wouldn't you, if you just broke up with your boyfriend or significant other the day before and you knew, you're like, okay, there is a list of places that I know he could definitely be. Wouldn't you avoid them?
Yeah.
Pretty hard.
Maybe burn them.
Yeah. Terrible.
All right, Lit. So that's it for Jackers, this ep. He's just kind of sad, but I don't think he's actually that torn up, so I'm not really worried about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He'll be fine.
Yeah. And then let's rip through Joey and Eddie, because this is kind of disgusting as well.
Rip.
So, you know, like we were just talking about a little bit ago, Eddie's like, we're trying to bust nuts in the car, not bust tables. Mm. And the next thing we know, they're in some classroom bickering, but also making out. And then Henson walks in on them. And I thought it was the library at first, but then I realized it's just a classroom. And she's like about to take a test, and there's other students there where they're like bickering and prepping for the test, which is awkward. So then Eddie and Henson like kind of claw at each other, and Joey's got to pull them apart. Eddie's like trying to thank Henson for writing a recommendation for him. Henson's like, okay. And Eddie's like, you're not going to say you're welcome. Oh, and then they like, you know, are toxic at each other. And then Joey's like, boys, settle down.
How has she taken on this completely inappropriate role between
it's fucking weird
her boyfriend and her professor? She's acting.
She wants to fuck.
Yeah, like she's acting like, you know, Henson is her relationship with Henson is just like completely inappropriate and fucked at this point. I don't know. There's nothing really to say. It's just so weird.
Yeah, so it's also becoming increasingly clear that Henson and Eddie are like the same person, basically.
Yes, yes, that was scary. That was scary.
Yeah. That's why she wants to fuck him.
Ew.
I mean, she does participate in the Henson relationship with a weird sort of glee that really disturbs me.
Yes.
Yeah, we get a little more insight on it later in that, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Get a little insight on that on those flip-flops.
Yeah, they were.
Whose flip-flops?
Henson's.
I missed it.
He's flopping pretty hard. We'll get into it.
Flop.
So, next we know Joey's hanging out with Eddie. She's, like, really horny. She's like, I definitely aced that test. You want to make out about it? And Eddie's like, what about that present I got you? And she's like, yeah, I'll accept that. And he pulls out a backpack, and she's like,
sucks.
Yeah. Why the fuck did you get me a backpack?
I got a gift for Steven. Eddie's like,
check out what's in the backpack. And Joey's like, okay. She pulls out a guidebook to Europe. It says $5 a day in Europe or something. And she's acting particularly dense because she doesn't want to recognize what he's about to ask her, I think. And she's just like, I don't do shit like this anymore. And then Eddie's like, let's go to Europe and experience history. Mm-mm. It's like, okay, that's where history happened. You're right. And Joey's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's never. I just thought of another Katwa, so I have to write this down.
Ooh.
She never.
We're taking manual notes now. It's crazy.
I know, right? But like, back of an envelope energy.
I like that.
Yeah.
Parental.
She never seems like down to do this the whole time. It's just like, oh god, no. She's not into it.
This one.
She's not into it. Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know how you would possibly go from, I can't, you know, this guy has dumped me on and ghosted me on several occasions and humiliated me in front of a group of people, like the love line situation, to being like, yes, I want to travel to another continent with you and have you be like my only lifeline. He will ghost you.
This is going to get dark.
Amsterdam. Okay.
And then she's going to get picked up in a sex trafficking scheme. Jeez. That's where my head went.
But
I was like, she's dead now.
Dark.
Her abductors will fall in love with her, though. And
oh, of course. And then she'll return to Capeside triumphantly.
Yes. It's
I'll fucking just lose my marbles.
I see something a lot more boring, which is just that, like, he's really awful the whole time and she's, like, in hell.
Yeah, that's the real that's the real world.
Yeah. More accurate for sure.
And they sort of just bicker about money the whole time.
Oh, God. Oh yeah, Joey's, like, super skittish about money. She's like, I need money. And Eddie's like, we don't have money. And she's like, exactly. And he's like, it doesn't matter. Anyhow.
I feel like 20 years ago, Joey and Eddie actually stay together and get married. Or maybe not 20. Maybe like 40 years ago, Joey and Eddie stay together and get married and hate each other for their entire lives.
Yeah. And maybe get divorced like really late in life.
Yeah.
Like really late. Like 70, 80s.
Yeah. Wow. Just living those golden golden years.
Damn. Yeah. I just, yeah, for some reason the song Glory Days by Bruce Springsteen popped into my head.
There we go.
Yeah, I feel like there's this line about, it's like, Joey and Eddie got married. You know, it's very, yeah, it's similar to Summer of 69, but different people.
I like that.
Yeah.
So next, you know, Joey and Eddie, they're kind of getting a little serious about this trip. And Eddie's like, yeah, let's go. And Joey's like, yeah, but we're going to do this very specific set of things that I would like to do.
Oh, you know,
and
what?
Eddie's like,
yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Eddie's then like, let's just run away. It's fine. Let's go immediately. And Joey's like, you can't run away from life, bitch. And Eddie's like, we got to leave immediately. And Joey's like, I don't think I'm going to. I don't have to do what you want. And Eddie's like just incensed. He's like, what do you mean? You don't want to leave immediately and do whatever the fuck I want to do? You don't get any agency in this decision. You're coming with me. And then he just kind of goes off on her after that because she doesn't want to do exactly what he wants to do. And he's like, you're afraid to love people. Oh, Joey's like, I hate you. Please leave. And Eddie's like, man, okay.
He's one to talk.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Also, if my boyfriend was like, I'm limiting you to one writer's grave per country, I'd be like, fuck you. I'm going by myself. That was like...
How are you going to spend all that money and just be like, I'm going to add these arbitrary, ridiculous rules to everything that you want to do?
That was like my moment of most identifying with Joey. I was like, you know, if I'm going to Europe, I'm hitting up some graves. Okay? Like,
I see some old dead people.
Yeah, seriously. Top of my list. Just like, shut up. What the hell do you want to do? All of a sudden, he's like not into writing anymore.
Literally, what does he want to do?
I don't know.
Bust nuts, not tables.
That's true. Seriously, I need that on a mug, to be honest with you.
It could happen. Yeah, I don't know. If my boyfriend were Eddie and I was in this situation, and
I'm sorry for you then.
I'm sorry for me too. But if he said anything other than let's go to Europe, it's only gonna cost $5 a day, and I got you, like I got you covered, you don't have to pay anything, like he's gonna need to pay me to go on this trip. By way of covering all my expenses, in order to convince me that it's a good idea to trust him with any sort of commitment longer than a weekend. Like, come on, girl.
But I think he needs to do prepaid debit card.
Absolutely. I need you to load.
Yes, I need you to load $5,000 in a prepaid debit card that you don't know the pin to.
Lover.
I want to have that in hand before I step on the plane. Yes. And then we can talk about going to your fucking falafel shop, okay?
So, Joey's really dumb. Mm. And, I mean, we know this, but she's like really leaning into it when she's hanging out with Hetson. Joey's pissed, and Hetson's like, I hate you. P.S. I gave you an A- on the test, so you got a C+ in the class. And Joey's like, where would you like for me to put my mouth on your body?
Ew! That's disgusting.
And Hetson's like, your essay was too bleak. And Joey's like, even for you? And then he forces her to read some passage from the book, which is Catch-22. He says that it's hopeful and blah, blah, blah. And he gets teary-eyed. And Joey's like, I love you? Will you be my advisor? And he's like, I hate you. And she's like, I hate you too, Smooches. I'm going to go talk to Eddie about Hope.
I mean,
why?
That's what I got out of that scene.
Why? Sure.
No, oh, that seems spot on. I just
that
like,
seems right.
First of all, that's not how grades work. I don't think you get a grade for the for two semesters. Like, don't you just get one grade per semester? Per class? Like, really confused about how.
I thought that. Not at I thought that paper grade brought her average for the semester up to a C or some C plus.
But it's over two semesters yeah. because she.
Is it?
Yeah, because she got that paper, that bad grade, that was like the first class she took with him. This is the second class that she's taken with
oh,
him.
Oh, God. Okay.
So I don't know how they're grading shit at Worthington, but it makes no sense. And also, Catch-22 is not college-level reading, especially not fucking the god Hetson for... that's bullshit. I tried to read that book once, and I couldn't finish it because it's not very good. I'm just going to say that.
That was my first... that was going to be my first Katwa because I never read it. Like... Even though, I don't know, it just wasn't assigned.
I read it in like sixth grade, and it was fucking lit.
Really? Sixth grade, okay. Okay.
Advanced. I don't know. That's probably a lie. It's probably like eighth grade. I think I read it in middle
school
at some point.
Still advanced compared to
no,
Joey.
I was very stupid. I just liked books.
I don't think those two things really go together, but...
Yeah. So you thought it was lit. Lena thought it sucked. Now I really need to break this tie. I guess I should read it.
Only the first, like, 50 pages if you want to be on my level.
Okay. Okay. Well, I could definitely do that. I don't...
Keep in mind, this is the experience of a... Would I be... Yeah, probably a teenage boy reading this book.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I was probably in my like early 20s when I tried to read it, and it just was really boring to me. It did not grab my attention. So,
seemed the passage that she read, I was like, this book sounds like it sucks, but you know, it was three sentences. So,
also,
I don't know.
Both of these two guys who are like the only people more cynical than Joey Potter herself being like, Joey, this
you're
book
too
is
cynical.
About hope, okay? Fuck
I
off.
Mean,
I just can't fucking deal.
Their entire vibe and mood is like, smile more, you know, while being like the most joyless people of all time, you know? So they are, they like, yeah, I mean, they like to neg Joey whenever they can, so.
I we think I'm... Eddie might be the character of Dawson's Creek that I'm most pissed about, like, on the rewatch. Because we've said it so many times, but, like, I thought he was just everything in the old days. And I really feel sorry for myself. Because he's nothing, actually.
Were you
an aspiring college student?
No. I was a child. I was, like, 13 years old when... season six came out.
Oh, that makes sense.
What?
It does. It does make sense. I would have to agree. I think looking back, I have felt the most angry, like really rewatching this character. Yeah. And I watched Dawson's Creek much later. I think I was like in my 20s. So I don't know. Apparently, I'm just unlearning the toxic behaviors because I definitely like was into it in my 20s,
which you still are,
which I am, but you know, because time has passed, I'm certainly like more into my 20s than I was at that time.
Yes, correct.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm in my post 20s, but that's not my 30s.
It's true. These are facts. The next thing we know, after Joey is just gushing about Hetson, we realize that she definitely wants to blow him. She's in the dorm with Audrey, and Audrey's like, this book about Europe could be lit, but $5 a day is for peasants, and I'm rich, and I can't think about existing on $5 a day. And Joey's like, I'm going to go to Europe now. She finds a note from Eddie immediately after that thought, and Eddie's like, I've abandoned you again. Deuces.
Literally.
Classic. How would you live on $5 a day in Europe? Like,
I don't think it's possible. Just,
Then it was more feasible.
But like food. And just even like, would you just eat like three slices of pizza a day or something? Like breakfast, lunch, dinner, just like a slice of pizza.
You get one baguette for the whole day. So that's like $1. And then you got $4 to just go wild.
And then you save a bunch of time because you never take a shit ever again. So you don't have to pay to access public toilets, which is nice. Go. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good money saver.
No fiber going down. And you're bloated. You're in Europe.
Except I'm guessing you're drinking a lot of coffee. So I don't know. Honestly, like, I think
taking crazy shits.
Yeah, like I spend more than $5 just like stepping outside of my house. So I don't know. It's hard for me to believe.
Think about that, Vanderfreaks.
Think about that.
We're living life lavishly.
It's
coffee and baguettes, taking crazy shits.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, to be honest, that sounds fucking amazing.
That is the vacation that I would plan for myself.
Those three.
baguette, coffee, dumb. I don't know.
Crazy shit.
Crazy.
And that's Europe for you. Just saved you a couple
grand.
I'm glad
we experienced that.
I mean,
you're welcome.
I'm not gonna lie; it's not totally out of line with my European experience. So,
I just can't believe fucking Eddie literally is like, "Yo, sorry to do this to you again, Joey, but I'm bouncing."
What does he say in the letter? What does he say?
He's like, you don't want to be spontaneous with me, and for that reason, I'm out. But if you do in the future want to be spontaneous with me and do everything that I say we should do, we could link up again.
It's so fucked up. Yeah, he's like, you know, I really thought you were the kind of person that could just like pick up and go and follow me as a man. But until you become that person, there's just not space for you in my life. So good luck. I know you'll get there one day.
She spent months tracking him down and then basically convinced him that he was worth something, and then he got into a prestigious writing school. And
I'm so mad.
And she was big enough to be like, listen, we had a very nice, like, I enjoyed our relationship and I love you, but obviously we're going our separate ways. And it could have just ended that way, like, fairly amicably, even though he was still an asshole. And he came back and, like, traumatized her all over again.
It's really dark.
It's so dark.
And, you know, talking about fucking trust issues, if she thought she was on the road to working through any of that shit, she just got, like, bulldozed by trust issues. He just made it that much harder. And he knows that. And he still, I mean, I guess he's probably like, well, I left a note this time. God.
Suck my ass, Eddie.
I mean, it was very, I'm sorry, I can't, don't hate me. Like the famous post-it, the burger post-it of Sex and the City season 5. So, yeah, it's just.
You know what I thought was weird? He left an envelope. Spelled her name in a sort of like a print cursive amalgam, giving us a loop on that Y. But no, he did not seal the envelope. But yes, I'm being very critical of handwriting and other signs.
Is that a faux pas to not seal the envelope?
I think so.
It's interesting. I don't know.
It's just like, why? Why would you even use an envelope if you're not going to seal it?
Because like, then it, like, you know, it was a surprise of taking the thing out of the envelope. You don't know what it is. You don't know what it looks like.
Yeah.
It's like a little wrapping for a present, you know? Like,
yeah, but you tape wrapping.
You know what I think is kind of like a, like a,
I have to come clean.
Oh, okay.
Whenever I get my wife cards, I don't seal the envelope.
Okay.
I tuck the thingy in.
Okay.
Adam, I was just about to say, you know what I think is a sociopath thing? Tucking it in.
I'm a fucking sociopath.
But I've done it before, but I feel like it's a little bit, like, there's something weird about it.
That's fine. I can own this identity.
Okay, for me, a tuck is way more acceptable than just nothing, just like leaving a flopping flap.
Well, so leaving the flap indicates, like, it's very, it's actually really him, if we're going to dig into this, because it's very non-committal.
Oh my God.
It's very non-committal.
Yeah, fuck, read him, drag him.
Yeah.
All right.
But I would say
whatever.
That
Eddie's gone, hopefully forever.
I mean, there's only like 3 episodes left, so
I'm sure he'll fucking show up again and be like, I wrote you a book. Oh. It's just pictures of buttholes.
God.
Spoiler, she goes after him.
Oh.
I'm so mad. I'm so fucking mad.
Can I just share what my preferred method of sealing an envelope is?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I mean, there's what I do and what I wish I could do. What I like to do is use some sort of sticker or adhesive, because I think that's cute. What I would really like to get into is wax seals.
They have them. One of my students bought one and showed it to me the other day. They have them at Collage. You can get a stamp, and you can also get some wax, and then you seal it up. It was tight. Looked really cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Okay. Shall we get into the wackest part of the app?
Even whacker? Okay.
Let's do it.
They said it couldn't be done, but they did it. So we've got Pacey, and, you know, we talked about this very briefly earlier, but we're going to roll right through it again. He's on a date with the orange lady, and then he, you know, they obviously look like they're up to no good. And she's like, I still really like that you have a ton of money. And Pacey's like, nice. And like I said before, that is foreshadowing. The next thing we know, Pacey's doing the Rich Rinaldi. He's hyping up a bunch of kids that want to make money. And he says they were put on this earth to make money. But he prefaces all of this with saying, I had sex with a beautiful woman last night.
He walks in like, I'm rich. I had sex.
He's like, I'm drunk. I'm high. Just had sex. And I'm rich. You guys want to be like me.
It's really full circle. Like, he's now become Rich Rinaldi.
He has peaked or bottomed out. I don't know. Like, I don't know what you...
I don't know.
But it's awful. And Rinaldi's like, afterwards, Rinaldi's like, yo, how'd that speech go? And Pacey's like, killed it. And then Rinaldi's like, did you have sex with that orange lady? And he's like, duh. It's kind of disgusting.
It's very bro-y in that they start off by talking about how fucking awesome it was to bang her, and then they sort of have like, then it devolves into like homophobic jokes, and then they're like, all right, bro, good talk, let's go make money. It hits all the points.
They're really doing it. Next thing, we got Pacey in bed with the orange lady, and they're thinking about having sex, but Pacey needs to watch TV because the stock he's been pumping is about to blow.
Stepatec?
Like, I'm about to make so much money on Stepatec. And she's like, you know what turns me on? Money. So Orange Lady hops right on top of him, and Pacey panics, turns the TV off, and we assume that they do sex stuff. But also, just before she does that, she reveals that she has a boyfriend.
Apparently.
Yep. Hop on top. Awkward. I want to ride. I do a kegel, but it's inside.
Oh, my God.
That's what happens. This is also, Art. I feel like this is a little bit more of a peek into Pacey's bedroom, which I found quite interesting. There is a hanging potted plant, which looks like it's thriving. So,
wow.
Good for Pacey. Also, an L.L. Bean catalog right next to the bed. What's going on with that? I don't know.
That's very weird.
Yeah. It also, like, straight up looks like an L.L. Bean catalog from 2021 or 2020, which, weirdly, I know, because sometimes I get L.L. Bean catalogs, and I don't know why, because I've never bought anything from them.
I don't think the L.L. Bean look has changed at all.
Yeah, no, I'm confident.
That nothing has changed.
I get them sometimes, too. And sometimes they're fun to look through. I do like... What's up?
Well, I thought you were going to sneak
what's
in.
What's up?
Everybody's freaking out.
Yo, we got a celeb just walked in the room, so got pretty hyped.
Celebrity!
Elise just walked in the room. If you say L.L. Bean, she will appear.
What?
Yo, I actually know that those are L.L. Bean slippers that she's rocking.
There you go.
I have them myself.
Okay. You have them. Okay, so that is why you're getting L.L. Bean catalogs.
But they were a gift. I didn't purchase them myself.
It honestly does not even matter. I've never purchased anything from L.L. Bean. They just find
you. If you say L.L. Bean out loud, they send you something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, L.L. Bean, I always wanted your stupid backpacks with my initials on them. Send it to me now.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant they're going to send you mail.
Oh.
I want a waffle shirt.
I'll take pretty much anything.
So, wait, where were we at? Where were we at?
We're in Pacey's boudoir.
Pacey, work.
They had sex.
Oh, yeah. We find out she's got a boyfriend. They bang because she's like really excited about him making a ton of money off Stepatech. And then Pacey's at work again. Dawson calls up.
Strip tech.
So Dawson calls Pacey. And Pacey's like, hello?
Yeah, Dawson. What?
Yeah, don't pull your money out. Keep pumping Stepatech. Pump Stepatech. It's worse than the whole GameStop debacle we just had.
Oh, my God.
Stepatech's doing fucking numbers. And everyone's like, we are about to be gazillionaires off the strength of this unapproved flu vaccine.
Is that what it is? Honestly, when they said that in the episode, I was like, oh, I didn't even know what this shit was.
I know, I thought it was like fucking stem cell kind research of... or something. And
thought it was tech.
No, flu vaccine, which is great if they could have made one.
Yeah.
And Pacey's, like, it's obvious that Pacey's going to lose Dawson's money and his own and this new orange lady. It's, like, the first thing I thought when Dawson called him. I was like, I can't wait for everyone to get fucked over.
Well, they have this conversation that's, like, what would you, like, imagine what would happen if you just lost all of my money. And Pacey's, like, haha, like, that would never happen. It's just, like, a very...
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Dawson's like doing the sensible thing. He's like, I am satisfied with the return on my investment. I would like to exit the market. And Pacey's like, can't let you do that, bro. You're about to be a billionaire.
Damn. GameStop.
Yeah, GameStop. Big GameStop vibes.
Step to it.
Step to it.
There's a meme on the internet called Diamond Hands.
Okay.
Your hands are made out of diamonds or valuable or something, but it means that you hold stock and you don't sell it.
Oh.
So Pacey is just like pumping Stepatech and saying diamond hands.
Okay.
Diamond hands, bro.
It's a Reddit thing from the Reddit GameStop people. Elise can tell you about it.
I guess that's why I'm not laughing.
That's specifically why, yes.
Because Reddit is where...
it's an interesting place on the internet.
Yeah.
You know what I appreciate is having a friend who is really deep into Reddit so that they can just give, they can like synthesize that for me.
That's
so
true.
I never have to look at it.
There's always one. Would that be you, Adam? Or is Elise synthesizing it for you?
Elise is synthesizing it for me for sure.
Okay. Okay. Nice. Got it.
Yeah. She's like the queen of Reddit. She's pretty good at it.
Dang. Okay. You know, my Reddit.
Elise, tell them about how much you like Reddit.
There's really good corners of the internet on Reddit.
Did you hear that?
Quality internet? Is that what I heard?
She said there's really good corners of the internet on
Reddit.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I would
take it back.
My Reddit queens are some of my favorite people. So if anything, I've heard like that category of person is really top notch.
Okay, so now we're stanning Reddit users.
Yes.
Across the board.
Specifically Elise.
Across the board.
Across the board, but specifically Elise.
Okay.
Next, we got Pacey at the office, and things seem a little off. And I'm like, stepping back just fucking plummeted. Let's go, baby.
Step a tonk.
Sucks to suck.
Step a dunk.
We'll find out. Next, we see Pacey with the orange lady. And he's sad that he lost Dawson's money. And when the orange lady's like, you don't have money anymore? Pacey's like, yeah, I just lost a bunch of money on Step Attack. And she's like, immediately goes back to being a professional relationship. She's like, do you want to say something on the record to me about that? And he's like, what? She's like, I gotta go hang out with my fiance later. And he's like, what?
Damn.
Fiance? And she's like, yeah. All right, bye.
Yeah,
this
she's
was
so shady.
She's very shady. I can't believe, I mean, this was like the least compelling relationship ever. And also, it's just so strange that it lasted for like two episodes. And presumably she's not coming back.
Not unless he starts pumping other stocks and gets crazy rich.
Yeah.
Remember how the reason it's called Stepatech is because the owner is like, his name is Stepovich?
I didn't know that.
Is
Stepatech a real thing?
No. That history is built into the show.
Yeah. I have mad investments in Stepatech.
Yeah, I'm actually
Step a Billy right here.
Yeah.
Wait, a Step a Billy? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
What's that? Like some
a billionaire.
Oh.
Who made their earnings on investments in Stepatech.
Got you. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I got in early, got out early. Made.
Yeah, I got right out right before the FDA did not approve, so I'm golden.
Mm-hmm.
Insider.
We're golden. Let's go.
Stocks.
So right after Orange Lady leaves Pacey's like back at the office hanging out with Rich, and he's like, listen, Rich, will you please front me some money? And Rich is like, suck my butthole.
Mm.
Pacey's like, but no, like, you were telling me to pump Stepatech, so I did. And now I'm extremely broke and I lost my friend's life savings. And Rich is like, sucks to suck. He has no care in the world at all for Pacey.
Yeah.
And then he kind of just starts digging into him and telling him that he's a piece of shit. So they get in a fight. Pacey fires him. Or Rich fires Pacey, sorry. And the funniest part about this whole scene is that every time they get near a computer, it like explodes with like crazy amounts of like, it's like they put a firecracker in each one of these.
I felt like I was watching a John Woo movie. Like, have you guys ever seen, like, for instance, Face Off? When in John Woo movies, when explosions happen, it's just fireworks going off. So, like, yeah, that's totally what was happening.
It was wild.
It was amazing.
It really escalated quickly, and many desktops were destroyed.
Destroyed. Like, they'd like casually brush up against one, it would fly into the wall, and there'd be fireworks everywhere. It was nuts.
Also, Pacey kicked Rich's ass. Like,
oh yeah, I enjoyed that.
He was bloody and beaten. by the end of it.
Rich trying to act like he had a fat lip was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. they clearly just took like from like someone's lipstick on set, just like smudged a little bit on there, and then he's like, "Yeah, picky guy." It was like, what are you fucking doing?
Oh my god!
Quality acting. No one's phoning it in as we near the series end.
No.
Nobody.
Never.
And so that happens. Pacey's destitute. He's lost his job. And the next thing we see is him standing outside of, I think, Dawson's house as we have a voiceover from Joey reading the note from Eddie, which is just like, why do we have to combine all these things?
I think it's pretty obvious why. I think this shit's about to converge.
Oh, my God.
I don't like the converging. Are they going to, like, have an orgy? Like, why are they coming back together?
I don't know. I just feel like
You do know.
I know.
It's honestly, it's amazing how many times I've been able to watch this show and just forget everything. So in a way, I really don't know. I can't remember. I
appreciate you for
that. Yeah.
Well, I do know, and I'm ready.
I'm not
so ready. Wild.
Also,
better get ready.
I'm just going to leave the possibility that Pacey was showing up to Dawson's house to call up on Gale one more time. Like, I'm not certain that was expecting Dawson to be there.
Whoa.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Just checking in.
Mama.
Mom. Mommy.
Step tick.
So, what was our Katwa?
You had
two.
Okay, yeah. So we kind of we talked about Catch 22 already. That I was going to ask you guys if you had read that. The other one came up from the backpack with the book in it, and I was wondering. I don't have an answer for this. What's the shittiest present you've ever gotten from a significant other?
Wow, shittiest present I've ever gotten from a significant other.
Yeah, obviously we'll exclude Elise from this unless you want to go off.
I don't think Elise has ever given me a shitty present.
I figured, yeah. Damn. I figured.
I got chapstick.
I have to say,
that's bad.
Chapstick can be lit.
I mean, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, I was useful, but it wasn't like a birthday gift or something. So it was just like a rando, but it wasn't great.
I'm digging deep here. It would have to be some kind of like. I remember. It was a, what are the necklaces that are made out of, like, that shitty string with, like, random beads in it?
Shitty string with random beads in it. Not like a puka shell necklace.
No.
Was it like a leather string?
No.
Hemp?
Can you make string out of hemp?
Well, hemp is.
I think it was one of those.
Hemp is a string, like the the string would be made out of hemp. Yeah.
I think it was that.
Was it like woven?
Very not me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
One of those.
I feel like I've seen this.
Yeah, you probably seen me wear it.
Yeah. That's not great.
Hated that thing.
Oh God.
Yeah, but that was also very of the time. So,
but not very me.
It was not you, though. But you wore it, and that is commendable. What did you do with it? Whatever happened to it with it?
It's in the trash somewhere. Couldn't tell you.
Wow, buried.
Damn.
Buried in a dumpster somewhere.
I mean, at least. That probably breaks down, you know.
Yeah. No memories left. What about you, Alia?
I'm struggling. I know I've gotten some bad shit before, but I'm kind of struggling to remember. What I am remembering is not is not directly from a significant other, but it was from my ex-boyfriend's parents bought me some stuff one year.
Uh-oh. I'm ready.
Yeah, this included a women's cut bubblegum pink Philadelphia Phillies top. And I was
so excited for this. Do you have any pictures of it?
Fuck no, I never wore it. It was so
jersey?
It wasn't a jersey. It was just like a slim fit t-shirt.
Okay.
We need a picture of you at a game in this.
Okay, first of all, I've been to a Mets game. That was my first thing. I was like, so they're from, I hope they don't fucking listen to this. They're from South Jersey, so their team was the Phillies. I don't really give a shit about sports, but I was like, this is weird because sure. Obviously my team would not be the Phillies. So what the fuck is this?
Extra weird.
And also just it's a baby pink, baby doll top. It was just so fucking weird on so many levels. Yeah. So that happened. I can't really remember what my boyfriends have gotten me, though. I can only remember, good stuff. But I'm sure there was some bad shit.
That one seems pretty up there. I'm impressed. Was this, the first time they'd ever met you and knew nothing about you?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was very nice of them to get me anything at all. That was very nice.
Trying to make you feel like you belong.
They wanted to make me feel included and stuff, but I was just like, wow, this is so off the fucking mark. Did you talk to him? Did you talk to your son about me and find out what some of my interests were?
I'm imagining you later having a bonfire in their backyard with a fire pit and then being how'd you start the fire? And you're like, I found some kindling.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Damn. Yeah, I wonder how long I kept it before I got rid of it. I don't think our relationship lasted a lot longer after that, honestly, so.
Wow. Brought it down.
It wasn't the shirt, but shirt didn't help.
Sure didn't.
Damn. I like that. So, all right, so we got some chapstick, we got some shitty necklaces, we got some shitty shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Vander Freaks, share with us the shittiest present.
Yes. That's such a good one.
We want to know.
I mean,
it was literal poop.
Ever received is endless, but there's something
opens it up quite a bit.
Yeah, there's something about significant other that's it becomes offensive because it's you want this person to know you, and then they just get it so wrong.
Yeah. I know somebody else who recently got a gift from their partner, which was a food dehydrator, and
okay, you put fruit in it. And I'm
kind of into that.
Okay, she's not you, so she hated it and
has
not opened it since. And periodically, I'm like, "How's the food dehydrator going?" She's like, "It's in the box."
I do.
Under the bed.
I mean, I do think. I don't know. You got to be careful when you're giving gifts like that sometimes. I wouldn't want that for Valentine's Day unless I had been specifically having a conversation where I was oh my God, I really want this. Then cool. But I don't know.
Unless you have specifically shown an interest in food dehydration or you're just somebody who likes kitchen gadgets. Don't get that as a gift.
Who doesn't love a kitchen gadget?
I do like kitchen gadgets, yeah.
It's great. Now I'm going to have dried fruit once a year that I made.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I don't have time to make it. I'm going to go buy some fucking trail mix.
Damn, that sounds so good. Why didn't I get that?
Could be you.
Could have been. Could have, would have, should have.
Yeah.
So, Vander Freaks, tell us what your worst significant other present was. Drop some Katwa answers in our inboxes. We hope you're doing well. We love you. And maybe you'll hear this episode before the end of 2021.
Okay, we're just going to drag me on every episode.
What? No, I'm just making sure I set expectations.
I know.
There's a difference.
Hey.
I'm not like dragging you. I'm saying you might hear this episode in the future.
Okay. Okay. I'll take that.
You might hear this.
Listen, half of my day job is just making people understand that they're never getting what they asked for.
Mm. I love that. Always be lowering expectations.
Yes.
A-B-L-E. Able.
Always be lowering. Always be talking about how busy.
That listen to this.
Oh, right.
Now you know how I do what I do.
Right, right, right.
Damn. Master. Okay.
All right. Creek and out.
Creek and out.
Creek and out.